is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
This is like old times. I've got the same old booth for it.
Number three.
Next to the coat rack. I was glad you called me.
I'm going back to the city early.
I thought there was a catch. First, what'll it be?
Oh, just coffee.
Oh, you can't do that to Joe. He's behind the counter dying.
Hi, Joe.
How are you, Kate?
Oh, a star for one of your hamburgers.
That'll be two specials, Joe, and coffee.
You got them.
What am I going to do with all that at 11 in the morning?
Eat it. You're too skinny.
Oh, that's a fine start.
It's honest. It ought to set the mood.
Oh, David, that's why I called you this morning. I wasn't very happy about the way you walked off last night.
What do you think I was? It's my mistake. I knew you had a date with Tony Cushing, but when I got Isabel's cable, well, hell, I used it for an excuse to come over, I guess. Forget it. I'll drive down to meet her. You go back to the city.
That's what makes me so mad.
What?
The way everybody acts here, as if I were somehow different, as if there was something nobody wanted to talk about.
Yeah, folks, just the way you like them.
Thanks.
Okay, so you don't like the way you're getting treated.
Oh, that's not what I said. I said I didn't like the way people were acting.
Go on.
Okay. Okay, I'm seeing Tony Cushing, and he's a married man in a way.
In a way.
That's what I mean. You're just backing off like everybody.
You got one thing wrong, Kate. Nobody knows about it, if that's what's worrying.
You know about it.
And your brother-in-law, Jim, and Pat said you told her, and Faye, who reads all the papers.
But you see, David, that's the point. I don't want it all hush-hush as if Tony and I were having an affair. It isn't like that. I wouldn't want that.
You
want
to talk?
I want to talk about meeting Isabel on Saturday.
Be my guest. She'd love it, and so would I.
David, oh... Tony invited me to a big fancy party on Saturday.
In that case.
Stop it, will you, just for once, listen, please? It's the 15th anniversary of his oldest friends, the Bensons. They have some sort of fabulous place about 60 miles north of here.
Yeah.
You know, David, I'd adore to go.
Well, sure, why not?
A lot of fun and excitement and new people and a whole different life that I don't know anything about. And I want to go to that party so badly.
Well, then go, okay?
No. I told Tony last night I wouldn't, but I know I'm missing out. Still, I know that there's a woman who has no use for him, who won't live with him, but who can come back from halfway around the world and say, "Leash up, boy."
Well, that's about as honest a thing as I ever heard you say.
But I got a cable, too, from Isabel. And when I told Tony she was arriving, he said he'd meet her with me, and then you came over.
I get the picture.
And I said to myself, why not just be honest about things with everybody? Don't you see?
Yeah. And thanks for starting with me. So, what do we do about Isabel?
You meet her.
And you?
I'll just tell Tony it's out.
If that's the way you want it, Kate.
Tony, good to see you.
I was afraid you'd already gone up to the country, Ned.
Oh, Holly went up yesterday. And then she phoned me that she missed me and she's back here in the apartment. Can you figure women out?
I'm not the guy to ask that today.
Have a drink. Or is this business?
It's business. I'll take a brandy and soda.
Oh, it's like that.
You Holly around?
Slipping into something glamorous. You bring that out in women, Cushing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you need a drink. Well, what's your problem, or do I need to ask?
Ned, you're a lawyer.
I haven't practiced in years.
But you can give a little advice.
Which will be worth about as much as you pay for it. Nothing.
Well, I've got to start somewhere. You know the whole story. What are my chances of getting a divorce from Claire?
You're serious?
Completely.
The new girl?
Let's just forget that. And for Pete's sake, stop calling her the new girl.
Okay. You want out with Claire.
I've wanted out for 3 years. Claire gets her kicks out of laughing at it. He told me if I ever made any move, she'd see Stephen Wolfe, who I gather is now out of the clink.
Oh, he's disbarred. He can't do a thing.
He still knows every dirty trick in the book.
Oh, sure. Your track record isn't exactly reading for the kiddies, is it?
Oh, well, whose is? I've been alone for 3 years. I'm living like a monk now.
Tell me, is Claire still keeping you company?
Yeah. The guy never leaves trails. Well, I can't name my boss.
Oh, you blocked me, Tony.
There are new laws today on the man's side.
Sure, but I don't think they'll help you.
But what am I going to do?
Tony, you made your first mistake in letting Claire win the first round. Walk out. Take what she wanted. You were too easy. You let it go by for 3 years. You liked the arrangement, or acted as if you did.
Well, maybe I did, but not anymore.
You've got to start convincing Claire.
But Tony, darling.
Well, Holly, the 15th anniversary looks good on you.
It feels good, too. Now, isn't that the last? That, darling, has all the ice melted?
I have your martini chilling.
Right here.
Oh, isn't he divine, Tony? My slightest wish.
Refill, Tony?
No, thanks.
Oh, Tony, not even with me. I've been mad to see you.
Oh, Holly, you're a hard girl to resist. Make it very short, though, please.
Right.
Tony, why are you so sweet to me in my own home and so absolutely beastly dizzy when I come to your office?
You don't let her barge in on you, do you?
Ned, you stay out of this. Answer it, Pat. We want to be alone.
Yeah, well, yell if you want help, Tony.
Oh, you're quite safe, Tony. You know, you're different these days. I adore a man who's in love, but I know my limits. Tell me, are you bringing her to the party?
I asked her last night. She said no.
Why?
Oh, too many people, too many strangers. But the real reason is me, of course. She comes from a small town with rather strict ideas. In her eyes, I'm married.
I rather like that.
Do you?
It's old-fashioned, but when do you meet anybody these days with a little old-fashioned decency? She sounds sensitive.
Yeah, too sensitive. Holly, I'm not married. All my friends know that.
They also know that when you parade a new girl, Tony, it's a conquest.
Oh, well, those days are over. I want to bring her to your party because I want her to be with me. I want her to know my friends, my life. I'm not trying to make a new girl. Kate's something else.
Is that her name, Kate?
Kate Wakefield.
Kate Wake...
Mm-hmm.
Tony, I have heard that name before. Where does she live?
Well, right now she's living at the Studio Club up near the university. She comes from Belhaven.
Belhaven? I pass that sign on the way to the country. It doesn't ring a bell. But I know I've met her somewhere.
Is there anybody you haven't met, Holly? Sorry about the call, Tony. Max wants me to come out to the coast.
Oh, Ned.
I told him I was marrying my wife this weekend.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
I've got to run along, good people.
Kate Wakefield. Tony, I know that name. It'll come to me. I'll call you in the middle of the night.
Anytime, Holly. Ned, thanks for the advice, even if it's no good to me.
Well, you better think about it.
I did, long before you gave it to me. There's got to be a way. Bye, friends. See you Saturday.
I feel sorry for that guy.
Kate Wakefield.
Who's that?
Tony's girl. He just told me her name. Ned, I met her somewhere. I may forget her face, but I never forget a name. Kate Wakefield, Belhaven.
When were you ever in Belhaven?
Oh, well, it's on the signpost about 11 miles from Centerville. Ned, I have got it.
Y'all wait.
Centerville, the Centerville Inn. I stopped there the day I got caught in that terrible rain, remember? That's the day I ran into Stephen Wolfe.
Oh, come on.
But I did, darling. And a little later, I saw this nice-looking girl waiting, and I asked her if she'd have a drink with me. You know, I hate to be alone waiting any place. But she couldn't, and her name was Kate Wakefield.
No, are you saying she was with Wolfe?
No. They weren't together, but I did meet her. And, darling, if I met her, I could call her, couldn't I?
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
My dear listeners, in today's Post, there came to me a most interesting observation on Vanity Fair, though I confess certain of its phrases are incomprehensible to me. The letter, bearing no address, must come from some obscure part of the realm, having a unique vocabulary of its own. For example, my correspondent terms it fan letter. Fan? I deduce this to mean stirring up a breeze of words. I am told to get my head together. Is my head split like William Tell's apple? I'm told to get with it. How does one get with something, and with what? Oh, well, never mind. It is the gist of the odd letter that delights me. May I read it to you? Sir, no, my impatient listeners await Vanity Fair. Tomorrow, the letter. Today, a chapter which, by odd coincidence, is concerned with letters. Three. Just now, Rawdon is writing the first. And having the devil's own time of it.
My sweet Becky. Would sweetest be better? Yes, scratch on. My sweetest Becky. I shall go mad. By gad, I will unless I see her. I must see you or go mad. Oh, blast, said that. Scratch on. I beg you, let me come to your sitting room tonight. I shall go mad if... Oh, said it again. Already half out of me wits. Becky so near, so far, and this letter won't do. Tear up. Start again. My dearest Becky, my beloved Becky, my... go back to sweetest. My sweetest Becky.
You're never here when I need you. Where have you been?
Attending Miss Crawley. 'Twas you lent her me.
Well, I would I hadn't. Stubborn old biddy.
My, ain't we in proper temper? And why, Miss Becky?
You know perfectly well.
Ah, you can't be with Mr. Rawdon unless he look all lovey at you and his auntie catches on to what's right neath her nose.
You needn't sound as if you're enjoying it and add to my bad temper.
Oh, well, I'll take away your bad temper, miss. I've two letters for you.
You might have said so before. Two?
One come by post, t'other by hand.
Ah, oh, this one's from dear Emmy, but I don't know the writing on the... Oh, from Captain Rawdon.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Oh, I can't wait to know what my darling writes me. Oh, Giles, look. Oh, how sweet.
You know I can't read, Miss Becky.
You're not supposed to read. You're to look at how he's crossed out and crossed out.
Well, why would he do that, I wonder?
Goose, because it's very hard for him to write a letter. It's always hard for gentlemen. Now hush and let me read. My sweetest Becky, Gad, you are right.
I must go to London, for I shall go mad here with you so near and yet so far. I beseech you, my love, let me come to your rooms this night. There will be safe from my terror of an aunt. In God's name, say I may come. Send word by Jove. I'll be waiting in the grape arbor, unless I die from longing ere she comes. I am yours forever,
Rawdon. Oh, how dear, how sweet, and how I love him. Oh, Giles, have you ever heard so beautiful a letter?
Oh, no, ma'am, but I ain't never heard no other. Oh, you'll let him come tonight, miss.
Oh, I shouldn't.
But will, I know it. Oh, write him quick, and I'll take it quick, and so's Mr. Rawdon don't die in the grape arbor.
No, la, let him wait.
Miss?
An hour, perhaps two.
Well, I do vow. Love him? You do not. Let him wait. Well, it ain't love. Tis wicked and cruel, and you'd ought to be ashamed, Miss Rebecca Sharp.
Dear little spitfire, a lady must not let a gentleman think she's too easily won, or she will lose him forthwith. I have been too easily won by Captain Crawley, and now he must worry a little. It will do him a world of good.
Do him a world of good, provided waiting does not send the poor lovesick guardsman to the madhouse. Ah, well, that is how the game of love is played. And Becky, for once, is playing by the rules.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes, Clarence.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Whilst Becky puts Rawdon through love's torment, she is about to read Amelia's letter. Recall, please, dear listeners, that Amelia Sedley is Becky's exact opposite. Innocent, guileless, tender, artless, heart on sleeve for all to see, and perhaps wound.
What pretty little handwriting, and a pink feel. Oh, Emmy is all pink and pretty, Giles. I'll read you what she has to say, but I'll make a wager first. She'll write only of George Osborne.
Oh, she has her own true love, like you, Mr. Rawdon.
Oh, not like Mr. Rawdon at all. George Osborne is a rogue and a bounder, and poor Emmy adores him this side of idolatry. Now, dearest Becky, I do wish you
were not far away in the country. I so need you to help me, for always you know what to do, and always I do not. Oh, Becky, I fear George's two sisters do not like me. They treat me with such cold kindness and condescension.
I lose my wager, Giles. George's sisters instead of George, which may be worse. Oh, poor little Emmy. How dare they patronize her?
I make every effort to like them, as I'm in duty bound to the sisters of my future husband, but it's very hard. I'm sure all the while they're saying of me, what can George see in this creature?
You see, Giles, here's another reason I should be in London, to help poor Emmy.
She does sound in need of the lot of you.
Oh, now we come to George.
They don't like it that George is never at home, always with me. But he's not always with me. It's what he lets them think, but he is not. Of course, I don't say so to them if George doesn't say so. I wait and wait by the drawing-room window for him to come. And I've only one thought to sleep and wake upon. When will he come?
Oh, that knave, that blackguard. How could he treat Emmy so? Neglect her, keep her waiting. Oh, poor little tender heart, hoping and beating, longing and trusting.
Beg pardon, Miss Becky. It's how you're treating Mr. Rawdon, ain't it?
Oh, dear.
He's hoping and beating and longing and trusting, ain't he?
Give me quill and paper, quick.
Oh, I've it all ready.
I will not be compared to George Osborne.
Here, Miss Becky.
Oh, I am so ashamed. My heart, beloved, come to me at 10. Let nothing prevent. My heart hopes and beats and longs and trusts. I've only one thought to sleep and wake upon. When would he come? For I am your own Becky.
Oh, Becky. Captain Rawdon Crawley may be in His Majesty's Army, but he is a fallen soldier in the grape arbor, shot through the heart by Cupid's sweet arrow. Well, dear listeners, tomorrow I shall read to you my curious fan letter, and tomorrow Cupid misses the mark. I am, oh, do not doubt it, your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Vanity Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Charles Kimbrell portrays Rawdon Crawley. Catherine Balfour, Miss Crawley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Boy, you really knocked yourself out. Look at that dinner table. Good dishes, good silver, wine. We're having wine?
Well, I thought we could have some Rhine wine or Chablis, something simple. You know, it's much more festive.
Honey, dear, sweetheart.
I'm not trying to get Aunt Maggie married. Now, just relax.
Maynard Blake is probably going to show up in a sports shirt.
All right.
Well, You got Aunt Maggie all restyled, her hair, her clothes.
You said it was a big success.
Right, right, it is. She looks lovely, but when you start matchmaking...
Please, dear, I have so many things to think about the dinner. Now,
Aunt Maggie and Maynard Blake may hate each other on sight.
All right, I'm not trying to get them married.
Well, then why have we asked a neighbor whom we hardly know, a widower...
His wife's been dead a year.
So why do we ask him to come to dinner to meet Aunt Maggie, who has never been married...
Bob, please, I just want everything to go right, and I have a dozen things to do. Why are you making problems?
I'm not. I'm only trying to point out that it's pretty obvious.
What is obvious?
Why you've asked him to dinner.
Is there anything wrong in bringing two people together who are about the same age and who may find companionship?
Honey, you may have changed Aunt Maggie's hairstyle and she has some new clothes and now wears a bit of makeup, but you have not changed the fact that she talks and talks and talks.
Well, maybe Maynard will like it. He's been alone since his wife died. Maybe he'll like hearing some voices for a change. And he had a happy marriage, and it's known that men who've had a happy marriage are the first ones to get married again.
Well, no man is going to get married to someone who yaks all the time.
Hmm? I think yaks is a very crude word.
Okay, but it's definitive when it comes to Aunt Maggie. I love her, but I tell you, I have to close my ears when she starts talking about her trips and who's married to who and why somebody got a walnut chest of drawers that should have gone to somebody else. And, well, you have got to face it. Aunt Maggie can be a bore.
I'm quite sure tonight will be different. I've hinted to her that men like to talk too, and that all successful women have been good listeners. I said to her, all smart women listen to men, even though the men can be dull as all get out.
Oh, that's interesting. You've listened to me, even though I've been dull as all get out.
Oh, dear, we're married. We've been married a long time. Now, I've bored you. You've bored me, but we've stuck it out, haven't we? We've had a successful marriage. We love each other.
That's a successful marriage? Everybody boring everybody else?
Honey, I have gravy to make.
Peg, you know, men aren't as stupid as women sometimes think they are. Maynard knows Aunt Maggie is here. We've never before asked him up to a cozy candlelight dinner to meet a woman his own age.
Stop worrying about it now. There he comes up the drive now, and he's not wearing an old sports shirt. He's wearing a very nice suit and tie. Aunt Maggie, our guest is arriving. Come on, so we can introduce him. Come on,
the front. Boy, do I hate this sort of thing. It's obvious.
Oh, stop it. Aunt Maggie!
I'm coming right down, dear. I had my print dress on, then I thought my blue would be better. How does it look?
Oh, you look lovely, doesn't she, Buck?
Oh, smashing.
You.
Now, look, Aunt Maggie, this man is kind of quiet and reserved.
Oh, stop worrying. I always get along with everybody just fine. I brought down my scrapbook of pictures I took on my trip to Glacier National Park. I thought maybe he'd like to see them.
Yeah, well, look, Aunt Maggie, not everybody likes to look at pictures.
For heaven's sake, let's not all stand here in the front hall, clumped together. It looks funny. Aunt Maggie, come and sit with me in the living room. And you get the door, dear.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks better if we're just sitting in here casually
talking. Yes. Uh-huh.
Bob, dear, I think somebody's at the door.
Oh, well, I wonder who it can be.
Well, we have certainly had a wet summer, haven't we?
What?
You said to be talking.
Oh, yes. Well, we've had a nice autumn. It's been lovely.
Mm-hmm. Well, look who's here. Come on in, Maynard. Come on in.
Good evening. I hope I'm not late.
No, right on time.
And I think the leaves have been so pretty, Aunt Maggie. Mm-hmm. Maynard. Well, come on in.
Am I early?
No, we were just sitting here chatting.
Maynard, this is my Aunt Maggie. I'm Miss Sorensen, Maynard Blake.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Blake?
It's very nice to meet you, Miss Sorensen.
Excuse me for just a few minutes. I want to finish making the gravy. Aunt Maggie, will you have a little glass of sherry?
Oh, yes, that would be lovely.
Maynard, what can I get you?
Well, whatever you're having. Sherry's fine.
And I'll show Mr. Blake my pictures from Glacier Park. That is, if you want to see them.
Oh, yes, sure.
Would you two excuse us, then, for just a few minutes?
Well, I went 2 years ago with my cousin Maud, and we just had the best time.
Wow, what'd I tell you? Aunt Maggie's already started. She's off to the races. Oh, this is going to be a whale of an evening.
Tell you, the Grand Canyon is something to see. I remember we had a very nice room with a beautiful view, and as I said, we met this doctor and his wife from Omaha.
And Maynard, will you have another hot cinnamon roll? Aunt Maggie made them.
Oh, yes, fine, thanks. They're delicious.
Thank you.
Anyhow, as I was saying, that year it was the Grand Canyon, and the next year we went to Yellowstone. No. The next year, Edna and I went to California. That's right. The next year, we went...
Well, Peg and I went to California one time, and it was so very...
Well, I want to tell you, we had the greatest time. Edna said, I want to take a tour of the movie stars' homes. And the funny part was, on this same bus tour, who do you think we met again? The same doctor and his wife from Omaha we met that year at the Grand Canyon. It's a small world.
Oh, yes, certainly.
I can't think of his name. It was Harris, Howard. Well, something like that. Began with an H. I remember that.
And when we finished dessert, I think it would be nice if we have our coffee in the living
room. Anyhow, then we had a tour of a big movie studio where they'll make some movie. I forget when it was. And Edna was so excited because we met and we actually shook his hand. Gary Cooper.
No.
I don't believe it.
Really?
Well, it was James Stewart. Was it Henry Fonda? Well, of course, it was way back some years ago.
Yes, Peggy, dear. Should I put the cream for the dessert?
No, dear. I'll do it. I'll just close the swinging door here so it won't bother you.
Oh, no. Leave it open. I'll talk loud enough so you can hear me in the kitchen because a very funny thing happened. Harrington. That was the fellow's name. Anyhow, Edna said, why don't we go to Disneyland? Well, I said, okay, and guess who was on the bus?
The doctor and his wife from Omaha.
Yes, how did you guess? Well, and then I laughed and laughed.
Well, it was a great evening. Where's Aunt Maggie?
Well, she insists on doing dishes tonight, so she went up to change out of her good dress. And you say women talk too much?
Yeah. Well, Maynard lives alone. I guess he had an audience tonight.
I put on my house dress. I'm going to get at the dishes.
I'm sorry, Aunt Maggie. I'm afraid it was a very dull evening.
Oh, my goodness. I don't understand how anybody can talk that much. I don't see how his wife put up with this.
Well, I just said he lives alone now, and
just
so
the same, he went on and on and on. Wouldn't you think one of his close friends would tell him? I must say that old saying is true. We certainly don't see ourselves as others see us. Well, I'll go and get the dishes started. We don't want to get up in the morning to that mess in the kitchen.
No, I'll be right out, Aunt Maggie, right out.
There go your plans for any romance. That's pretty funny. Aunt Maggie, who never stops talking, did she even get a word in edgewise?
Did anybody?
Oh, boy, it's only 1 o'clock. I thought he'd never go home.
Oh. I do think Maynard might have paid a bit of attention to Aunt Maggie. I mean, he didn't even compliment around the dessert she worked so hard on or anything like that. Oh, look at that be at this hour. You get it. I'm going out in the kitchen and help with all the dishes. My
okay.
Goodness.
I can't go ahead, Maggie. Hello? Yeah? Oh, Maynard. Oh, no. They're doing dishes. What? Oh, well, thank you. We enjoyed having you, too. Sure.
Who is it, dear?
Just a minute. Hold on. It's Maynard. He had a wonderful time, and he wants to talk to Aunt Maggie.
He does. She'll be right there.
She'll be right here, Maynard. Well, you'd better ask her.
Come on. What does he want with me?
Well, here, take the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Go on. I'll go help with the dishes.
Well, hello? Oh, thank you. Well, we enjoyed having you and hearing all about... No, you didn't talk too much at all. My goodness.
What did Maynard want? What did he want?
Calm down. To take her for a drive tomorrow.
You see, the best laid plans sometimes do work out.
Work out? Now we'll have two people around who talk all the time.
You know, if they have a spring wedding, the reception could be in the garden.
Wedding?
You know, the one that looks...
Oh,
you know,
poor Maynard. Boy, men don't have a chance.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
If the dryer had to break down, at least it picked a good day. Hand me that shirt, will you please, Cora?
Here you are.
Thank you.
With a big yard like this, I don't see why you need a clothes dryer all the time.
There. We ran out of clothespins, line, and clothes altogether.
Oh, and everything will smell so much better, so fresh and sweet.
Oh, but in the winter, do you remember how stiff and frozen everything would get?
Remember Papa's long johns?
And your bloomer?
Yes. Let's go in and have some coffee. I think it's still hot enough.
You've just no idea how good it is to have you here, Cora.
And I'm having a fine time, Ginger. Except for the one thing.
What do you mean?
You and Marsh.
I don't know what to do about it.
Well, it seems to me you've already done a lot. A lot maybe you shouldn't have done.
I thought you were on my side.
I am, Ginger. You're my sister, and I want to see you happy, but from what you've told me and what Marsh has said...
You're taking his part.
And from what I've seen myself, I think you've made things worse.
I don't understand you, Cora.
When Marsh talked to me the other day about Billings, some things came a little clearer.
Oh, Cora.
He talked about how you worked so he could get to be a doctor. He said you'd done a lot for him.
He did? Well, of course you know that.
He said he wouldn't be where he was if it weren't for you.
I want so much for him.
Well, that's why he can't figure out your reason for wanting to tear it all down.
That's not true.
He told me why he left that other hospital. You forced him to.
I didn't. It was what he did.
Mama didn't bring you up not to see things for what they are.
What could I do, Cora? He was having an affair with one of the women doctors.
He said he wasn't.
Of course he did.
What makes you so sure he was?
He used to have lunch with her.
Oh, Ginger. Having lunch with someone isn't the same as having an affair.
That wasn't all, Cora. He used to work late, and one time I called him and she answered the phone.
At the hospital? In his office?
Yes.
She answered his telephone?
Yes, see?
I think Mama did bring you up to be soft in the head.
What do you mean?
If they were doing hanky-panky in his office, do you think she'd answer his telephone?
He used to talk about what a good doctor she was and how her fiancé was helping her out so she could be a doctor.
Mm-hmm. I see. Kind of like what you did for Marsh.
Yes. Yes, I guess it was.
It sure doesn't prove anything, Ginger.
You know what I feel inside.
I see you feel something. You married a man you loved, and you helped him get where he is, and now, for some reason, you want to tear him down.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
You're really hard at work, Kurt.
I'm just getting back in typing trim. I want to establish some contacts with distributors.
Oh, you'll be great at that. You know so much about ski equipment.
Oh, I suppose so.
Oh, come on, darling, more confidence. Here, let me inspire you.
That's more like a distraction.
Oh?
Well, if I'm going to keep my mind on business...
Well, don't get too tired out. Remember the party tonight.
Yes, the party.
Oh, the family will love you, I promise.
Including your father?
He'll come around. Don't worry.
I'd better get these letters out.
Oh. Well, I'll go see what Anne's doing. We have a surprise for you.
That's nice.
I wonder if I'm marrying the right man.
Why do you say that?
If becoming a businessman is going to make you
this,
so serious.
I have to make a living.
Well, doesn't everyone?
Some people don't. Well, I'd better get on with it.
I'll see you later, dear.
Dear Lisa, this is just a brief note to bring you up to date. Everything is on schedule. I can't tell Lisa that Lynn doesn't have the money. She's put too much into this. There's going to be a party tonight for Lynn and me, and I'll be meeting the family. And I can't go back to Zurich broke and worse off than I was before. I've got to figure some way to make this pay off. Lynn's father still isn't too keen on the marriage, but thanks to you, and of course Rene Noir, he doesn't know anything about me. If I just had more time, I might be able to switch over to Anne, but... I miss you terribly and wish we could be together. Lynn and I will be married soon, but what is between you and me? How can I ever tell you what it means to me? Somehow, some way, I'll make this thing work. Even if Lynn doesn't have the money, I'm at least closer to it than I would be back in Zurich with Lisa.
Only 15 more minutes, please, Lynn.
Oh, I'm getting fidgety, Anne.
I noticed.
Oh.
If this portrait is going to be finished as a surprise for Kurt on your wedding day, you'll just have to grin and bear it.
If you promise not to paint the grin.
I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea. Kurt is quite a laughing boy himself.
Is that the way he looks to you?
I was only kidding.
Anne, what do you really think of him?
Oh. Lynn, you're looking at me. You're supposed to be looking over there.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Mm-hmm.
About Kurt.
What do you want to know about him?
What you think of him?
Oh, marvelous bone structure. Good color. The musculature is very well developed. I suppose due to skiing. And he's a doll, I guess.
Oh?
How is he as a lover?
I don't know.
Oh, you two must be the last of the great romantics.
You think he's attractive?
Lord, yes. There aren't very many men with charm and looks. I think he picked up a lot of European savvy. Yeah, he really knows how to turn a woman on.
You think so?
You know, sometimes I wonder what kind of marriage you and Bill had. You seem so... God, I suppose the word is virginal.
I can't say the same for you, Anne.
I should hope not.
Oh, Kurt's quite different from Bill. He's much more...
Yes, isn't he?
You don't know what I was going to say.
Well, whatever Kurt is, it's more than your first husband in every department. Kurt is charm plus, and he knows it. Who is it?
It's Kurt.
Oh, Anne, cover up the painting. Just a minute, Kurt. All right, come on in.
What are you two doing?
Are your ears burning?
Why?
Well, we were talking about you.
Oh, should I worry?
I didn't think you worried about anything.
Oh, Anne, Kurt can be very serious.
Oh, that's new. What happened?
Marriage can have a settling effect on a guy, or so I've heard.
If you want to back out.
You're not serious.
Just try and get away and you'll see.
Well, I wonder if you know what you're letting yourself in for, Kurt.
Do we ever know?
Hey, I like that. We have agreed we are going to have a perfect marriage.
Well, at least Lynn's optimistic about the future. What about it, Kurt?
I'm not worried. Things always work out the way I want them to.
See? We have got nothing to worry about.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.